God is on our side, who gon' stop us? The weapons may be formed, but they won't prosper. When you walk in faith, blessings pop up. We operate in faith, you should watch us.
So welcome back to the Brittany the Host podcast. I'm your host, Brittany Gold. And I just want to say thank you guys for all of the feedback, all the love, all of you guys opening up and sharing your stories. Either you guys had similar stories, you guys had questions. Like, I got a lot of positive feedback from the last podcast. So shout out to y'all. Thank you. And don't forget, you can watch now. Before, I never had my podcast. So all those who have been listening on Spotify and all of your streaming platforms for like this whole time, you guys, I am live on YouTube. Hey, YouTubers. Hey, fam. You guys can watch me now on YouTube. So if you didn't know, now you know. You can see me live in a living color, period. But I wanted to go ahead and make sure I hit on these two topics in the next podcast because they were highly requested in the comments of my previous podcast. So if you haven't checked that out, it was basically saying how I stopped dating in the world and did things God's way. And God bless me with a husband, marriage, baby, all of that. Check out my life update. Check out the last podcast if you have not. I break it down how I stopped dating in the world and things just happened. You know what I mean? Your girl got a ring. And of course, that's not why we do things. But I do believe that God blesses obedience according to Deuteronomy 28. Okay? So, two big things that you guys wanted to know about in this podcast was how to become your own best friend and how to mourn the childhood that you did not have. Those two things really set me, like, were huge in my growth, my development, my walk with God, my healing journey especially. So we're going to dive into that. And so how this is going to work with the podcast is we're going to do a video, you're going to watch, and you're going to let me know what you want to know about next in the comments below. And that's how we're going to keep this thing running. So my plan is to do every week, you know, until I pop this baby out. But every week, we're going to have another topic that you guys recommend, that you guys want to hear from me, and I can answer it to the best of my ability. And coming up too, also, if you guys haven't checked out yet, is my husband and I sat down and did a little How We Met video. So check that out. It's either going to be up here or down below. But that video should be live by now as well. If you guys are interested on how I met my husband, our whole getting to know each other, courting process, that's live as well. So let's dive into the first part is, should I do how to become your own best friend and mourn child? Let's start with the childhood. I think this is very key and crucial to your growth and development. I'm just gonna fall back a little bit, let y'all see a little bit of the baby. But This helped me tremendously with my healing process. Okay, so let me just rewind. So my parents were not together. They were not married. Well, they were together in whatever way they were together. Maybe like a little situationship. Maybe they were dating. I don't know. I wasn't there. Okay. Here's the thing. You never really know the dynamic of your parents unless they both have the same story. I think they were dating. There's other parts of this story that are not my business to tell. So they met. I was conceived. Then they broke up. And my mother primarily raised me with my grandparents for like the first, I want to say, 8 years of my life. Then my mom got married when I was around 7 years old, 7, 8 years old. They were married for a few years. Great stepdad at the time. They had my siblings. They divorced. Then I went to live with my father for, I want to say, a little under a year. Then I left, went with my grandmother, and my grandmother raised me from 6th grade all the way up to 10th grade. 6th grade to 10th grade, I went back to the Bay Area where I'm from. Shout out to the Bay. Shout out to the West. And then I left there junior year, went back to Houston to live with my mom, and finished out college, all of that. So shout out to H-Town, Northside, Greens Point, period. So I moved around a lot as a kid. There were times where it was very unstable, but there were times where I could look back and be like, oh my gosh, it was blessed. Like, loved living with my grandmother, loved the time with my dad that year was extremely necessary. And I want to say this before I move on to the story. I understand that as a mom, you may not want to give your children over to their father. But if they're having behavioral issues, if you're having a hard time in your life, if you're struggling or whatever, if that man is able to and willing, please let your children go be with their father, because, and it could be hard for you, but maybe you need that break to, you know, get yourself together, whatever the case may be. But I will say, if it wasn't for that time with my father, my life probably would have derailed, because at the time my mom was divorced, trying to restart her life with three kids. It was a lot. And she was young. I think she wasn't even 30 yet at the time. So me going with my dad, even though I personally, you know, struggled with it as a kid because I didn't know my father at the time, it was night and day from being with my mom. My mom was very like, you know, we're from the West Coast, you know, whatever. My dad, Southern, yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am, was on it. But if it wasn't for that time in my life, I would probably not be the person I am now. So I want to say that before I get into this, you know, break everything else down, that if you need that break, if you have a parent who is willing to be the parent, especially if you have if you are having behavioral issues, or you don't have the time, please let your child go with that father. If it's safe, that father loves that kid, and you know that they're not going to really put them in harm's way, even if they're more strict than you, even if your kid calls you like, I hate it here, he's so strict. Sometimes kids need that, okay? So I'm just going to say that, and we're going to move on. So that's a little bit about my childhood. So as I became an adult, I started kind of resenting my parents at a certain point, right? I got to college, or I did all these things, and I was like, oh, I did this myself. Nobody helped me. Like, I had this big, like, I did it. I made it out the mud. Didn't nobody help me, blah, blah, blah. And then God checked me. One day I was like feeling myself like I did this. Did it? I had this chip on my shoulder resenting my parents. God was like, skirt, skirt, skeet, stop, stop, stop. I did that. God was like, I did that. And then as I grew and matured, I looked back on my life and I was like, no, my parents were exactly who they could be at the time. My parents were very young when they had me. My mom was 19. I think my dad was around 24. And thinking who I was at 19 and 24, there's no way I could have even allowed a child to like make it alive. So once I stopped blaming them, right? I stopped putting them on this pedestal and having these expectations of young adults. Yeah, they were adults, but they were kids. And we have so, okay, y'all have to think, if you grew up in the 80s, 90s, we have so many tools at our fingertips. If you want to know how to be a parent, it's a YouTube video out there. You want to know how to raise a baby, it's a YouTube video out there. You want to know how to get your children to read, there's a creator. Anything that we want to learn how to do, that's why there's no excuses now. Information is at our fingertips. Our parents did not have that. Especially in the Black community, healing, therapy, all of these conversations that we're having now about mental health are new, like new, like in the last 5 to 10 years. Shout out to Charlamagne the God. I know people feel some type of way about him. He made publicly Black men comfortable with getting therapy and things like that. So we got to give credit where credit is due, no matter how you feel about the man. You know, he, big ups to him for that. But all of this healing and mental health and spiritual awakening, like all of this stuff is new. Our parents did not get this. And them being children to baby boomers, that's these two generations, very different. So I say all that to say, as I realized the age of where my parents were when they conceived me, the circumstances under which I was conceived, because that plays a big role too. Like if your parents weren't together, like don't think that our parents didn't have sneaky links, they didn't have situationships, they didn't have booze, bays, such. Like they had the same stuff that's going on now was going on back then. Okay, so we can't put our parents on these unrealistic pedestals and expect them to be perfect people when they were just young adults living. They made some mistakes. You was here. Maybe it wasn't a mistake. Maybe it was playing. But I know I wasn't playing, child. I know I wasn't playing. My parents were not married. And yeah, moving forward, right? So once God kind of checked me and was like, no, boo-boo, I did that. I gave you the grace to go to, I helped you through your life. I was like, ooh, and I humbled myself. And then when I really thought about Like, I took myself out of the equation and I stepped in my parents' shoes, my mother's and my father's. What were they going through at the time I was conceived, the relationship dynamic, all of this? And I want to say this too. A lot of us, especially men and women, have to give our moms grace, especially if she was a single mom in the 80s and 90s. Baby mama culture is okay now. I want to say this. Having children out of wedlock just started being okay millennial generation and below. When our parents conceived us, if they were single parents, that was not okay. Like, they were shamed. A lot of them were shamed in church. A lot of them were shamed in public. Like, and I can say, remember when Brandy got pregnant with her baby girl? She had to lie on Oprah and say she was married. And this was in the 90s because I was a kid at this time. Because it was not okay to have children out of wedlock. This is just now starting to be okay. So imagine what your mom could have went through emotionally, mentally, spiritually, all of that. Your father, if you weren't planned, that's a lot of stress. That's a lot of turmoil. If your parents were young, there's so much. So I'm just like, dang, my mom went through all that and still had me. Still took care of me to the best of her ability. And honestly, my mom did a really good job. To be 19, 20, 21, 22, even if she made mistakes, even if my childhood wasn't great, the fact that a 19-year-old kept me alive and I turned out the way I turned out, she did pretty darn well. Okay? So sometimes we can hold on to so much resentment of what we didn't have, what we didn't get. You know, the instability, maybe the absence. Because, you know, millennials, we was at home by ourselves a lot. You can't leave kids at home the way we was left at home, okay? We was left at home. But even then, just thinking about, like, how old my mom was. Like, duh, you left. Like, I was cool. TV, microwave, popping. All right, you gonna go do what you gotta do. I'm here, I'm chilling. Of course, like, why wouldn't you take advantage of that? Why, if you had a kid, I was very independent. Super independent. God gave me independence. I could chill by myself. I didn't need no friends. Like, I was never bored. As long as I had a TV, I was cool, okay? For hours, hours and hours and hours. I didn't need to be entertained. Give me a TV, give me some tapes, give me my favorite movies, I was cool. Leave me a little microwave, leave me some hot dogs at the time. I was straight. So, single mom, of course you go take advantage of that, right? Not condoning it, but it makes sense. So once I started looking at my parents as human beings and, again, took them off that pedestal and realized where they were, the ages that they were, and the mentalities that they probably had and the things that they went through, I was able to give them so much grace. Right. And I just came to a realization and still continuing to work on it because it's a process. Right. It is a process, especially with the daughters and the fathers. That's like one of your biggest heartbreaks sometimes as a woman, because the man you feel is biologically supposed to, like, be there, love you, protect you. And in the absence of that, you make a lot of mistakes because you're searching for love in the wrong places. And you know what? It breaks my heart that a lot of men really tear down women who are promiscuous. And promiscuity doesn't come because women are just so nasty and they just want to be freaky and sex everybody. No, promiscuity comes from low self-esteem, not knowing who you are, searching for love in all the wrong places, because for whatever reason in the brain, when you are not loved, protected properly by a man, especially a father, that's why I tell fathers, be in your daughter's lives as much as possible. Because what ends up happening is, for whatever reason, your brain looks for sexual love or love from a man of the opposite sex. And normally that comes sexual versus, you know, a father figure type of love. And I truly believe that's why a lot of men are able to get access to young girls when they're in high school, because that missing father figure, you know what I mean? Like, the searching for the need to be protected, loved, and it's subconscious, you know, and the enemy plays on that absence. So if you do have children, no matter what the dynamic, please try to be in your children's lives. And I know it could be hard, court, child support, I get it. But we made the decisions, we had the children, regardless if you wanted them here or not. Please try your best to be in your children's lives because it's important. But so I wanted just to say that because that's a big misconception in our community. Like, men are told to be freaks and do what they want to do. And as soon as a woman does something, it's like, oh my gosh, you're the biggest hoe in the world. And it's just like, well, who they dipping their fingers in? Like, you know what I mean? Like, who they with? So if you do have a past or something's happened to you, give yourself grace, forgive yourself, ask God to forgive you, and move on accordingly and just make different decisions. You don't have to stay stuck in who you used to be. And searching for love through your body is not, it doesn't work. Okay? No matter how much sex, how many men, how many boyfriends, a husband, it's not going to fill the void that you think it fills. You have to fill that void with you and God. That's inner work. And that's a part of healing the childhood that you didn't have. So once I looked at my parents as human beings, once I stopped the resentment and the blame train, and then just really thank God for my life and just appreciated my parents for who they were. A lot of times we want our parents to be somebody that they're not. They're who they're going to be. Even if you don't like how they are, how they operate, they're who they are. You know, they're not for us to tell who they should be. That's for God. You know, so we got to give our parents grace. And then if it's a really unhealthy relationship, set some boundaries and ensure that the relationship is as beneficial to you as you will allow it. Everybody's situation is different. So I know that there are some extremely toxic situations between parents. There's some unsafe, unhealthy situations, and I understand that. So you as an adult have to understand like what boundaries need to be in place for you to feel safe and for you to feel that the relationship can move forward. But if it's not a toxic situation, if it's not something that is really detrimental to your mental health or your well-being as an adult, then try to work on the relationship. Even if it's a little bit, even if it's just, you know, checking in, sending a text message. Sometimes you do have to be the bigger person, even though you're the child. And I know some people can be like, that is so annoying. I'm the child. Why do I have to reach out? I mean, just do it. It's not going to kill you. Sometimes we got to swallow our pride and do things that we don't want to do. But God gives us grace. So we have to find it in our hearts to try to give grace where we would want grace from God. You know, we got to extend that olive branch sometimes. So I really challenge anybody to do those things. Y'all, Zara is right here and she's wanting attention. And I'm talking to the people. You got to get down. All right, so we talked about mourning childhood. If you guys have any questions about how to mourn your childhood, I think I kind of covered it all, but leave it down below if there was something that was unclear. Basically, it's just acceptance, you know, grace, and just letting it go. Because if you keep like trying to like, well, I shoulda, then you might miss out on the blessing that you had. Maybe you're the best person that you are because you didn't have those things, right? Sometimes your life is better because those people weren't there, or because you went through certain things, or your dad wasn't there. Like, sometimes our life is better. It turned out exactly the way it was supposed to be, or maybe not, but maybe our life is better because that person was absent and they weren't around. You just never know. So just give them grace, forgive them. Let go of the need of I wish my childhood would have been X, Y, and Z, and accept it for what it is. And as a parent, make sure that you don't repeat generational curses, right? Make sure that if you grew up in a broken childhood or a broken home and you didn't like how you grew up, don't say, well, my mom survived, or I've seen so many people do it, it doesn't matter. No, make different decisions for your children and your future. Like, I don't know if I said this in another podcast yet, but when you select a mate to marry, or a person that you're laying down with and having a child with, you're selecting the father of your children. So ladies, I don't recommend doing it without being married. But if you are choosing to have a child outside of marriage, or choosing to whatever dynamic it is, you are choosing your child's father. So if you don't trust this man, if you can't rely on this man, if this man is not dependable, if this man isn't even showing you love in the proper way, I would not bank on him being the best father. And what we do is we perpetuate generational curses, right? So the man that you select is not only for you, but is going to show your son how to be a man and show your son how to love a woman. So if he's not loving you properly, he's not going to give your son a great example. He's also the first person that your daughter is going to fall in love with. That's her father. So if he's not loving you properly, whatever she's saying is going to be the standard on how she's treated. So if there's no love, no grace, no respect, no dignity, you're steady crying, they're constantly cheating, or they're just not trustworthy in the dating phase, or it's a situationship or somebody you hooked up with, you're selecting that person for your children. And I'm not shaming. I just want us to start understanding that this is a big decision. It's not just about you getting your rocks off or just feeling good for a night or just, you know, what you're doing, especially if you're being unprotected. You are selecting the future, your child's future. So it's kind of on you if they have to go through healing, if that person isn't there, if they get abandoned. You can't just be like, you know, and I'm not talking to single moms who've already, you know, or single dads who, you know, life happens, but, or you've made a decision and things happen. But what I'm saying is like, we can't keep operating in, oh, well, things just happen or children just happen. No, we are selecting these. We're making active choices. We say this like we go to Walmart and just get babies and we come home and we're like, oh my gosh, a baby. No, we lay down, regardless if you meant to have a child or not, the child was conceived. It's a consequence to our actions, no matter what, you know, what, how you would want to slice it. And I'm not judging by the grace of God. Hello, by the grace of God, I'm not judging. But I want my women who don't have children yet to understand how important that decision is. And just because society has allowed us to be so frivolous with it and make it seem like it's not a big deal, it's a huge deal. And if it's not a big deal for you, at least think about your future children. Because regardless if you want to deal with that man for the rest of your life, you will, and those children will too. Regardless if you like him, they in his life or not, you never know. My mama didn't see my daddy again until my college graduation, 22 years later. So you never know. Okay, switching gears to how to become your own best friend. Now this is crucial. If you can ace how to do this, you will save yourself so much time, so much therapy, so much healing, all of the same, all of the things. Okay, but you gotta follow these steps. So the first thing into how to become your own best friend is you want to give yourself as much grace as you would give your friends, right? A lot of times when people come to us with their sob stories, or not sob stories, it sounds bad, but something happened or they made a mistake, we don't beat them up, right? We're like, oh girl, don't trip, it's okay, like we love on them. But when it comes to things that we do, we tend to harbor on it, beat ourselves up. We ask God for forgiveness, but we keep ourselves in a mental prison of, why did I do that? Why did I do that? Why did I do that? That's not being your own best friend. That's being your own bully. That's beating yourself up. So giving yourself grace looks like, girl, I shouldn't have done that. Like, I talk to myself. Like, don't be believing people that be like, oh, if you talk to yourself, you're crazy. No, you need to be your own best friend. You need to be able to check in with yourself. Hey, Britt, why am I feeling like this? Before I go off, you need to be able to sort out your feelings. You need to be able to talk to yourself and talk yourself through things. Just like you talk to God or your friends or whatever. Some people don't need to pick up the phone. Some people don't need to pick up the phone and be like, hey, girl, what you think? No, you need to go to yourself and be like, self, like Britt, I always call my own name. Britt, what's good, girl? How you feeling? And I answer myself back, well, right now I'm feeling this and this and this way. Because if I don't have that dialogue, I might skip or miss something. And I'm my number one person. Not my number one after, I'm God, myself. Because if I don't check in with me, if I don't make sure I'm okay, if I don't know what's going on with me, how is my husband supposed to know? How am I, like, I can't be who I need to be for everybody, including y'all, if I don't check in with me and make sure I'm good. Because I'm my first go-to, right? So you check in with yourself, you honor how you feel. So it's giving yourself grace, not beating yourself up, right? Giving yourself that grace. Being honest with yourself. There is no point in lying to you. Do not do things and lie to yourself to make yourself feel better. Do not placate yourself. That is like the worst thing you can do. If you are feeling a way, don't gaslight yourself. Honor how you feel, even if it makes zero sense. right? It could be jealousy, anger, irritation, pissed. If you cannot label your emotions, how are you supposed to sort them out, deal with them, or tell them to somebody saying, hey, you made me feel this way, so that they can change their behavior, right? Understanding how you feel, being honest with yourself, being honest about the decisions that you made. Do not placate yourself and be like, well, it doesn't matter. No, it matters. Every choice that you make matters. Don't be like, well, it don't matter that I had a baby. No, it matters. Because when you tell yourself it doesn't matter, you just sweep things under the rug and then you don't deal with them. It is okay to be ashamed of the things that you've done. You just don't stay there, right? You don't beat yourself up about it. But it's okay to be like, dang, that was not a smart decision to make. Dang, I really don't ever want to feel like that again. Or, ooh, I did that. That was horrible. Bad decision. I never want to do that again. It's okay to kind of sit in that a little bit. Because if we try to eliminate the shame or eliminate the pain from a bad decision, we end up repeating them. If we just be like, oh, well, he's just a F-boy, but we don't take any accountability that we allowed that man into our lives, right? Or how that we even ended up in that situation, then we're negating the part that we play, and then we're hands out, we're out of it. So then you don't have control over the decisions that you make. So grace, being honest with yourself, holding yourself accountable for the things that you've done, the things that you've allowed, the things that you are going to do moving forward. Again, giving yourself, always go back to grace, right? You don't beat yourself up, but holding yourself accountable to your past, your present, and your future is extremely important in becoming your own best friend. Because if you don't hold yourself accountable, again, you're going to continue to make those same mistakes, and being honest with yourself. And then when you ask God for forgiveness, forgiving yourself, that goes a little bit with grace, but you have to forgive yourself. You are not a perfect person. You're never going to make all the right decisions. It's never going to be perfect. You're going to make mistakes. You don't make mistakes on purpose and knowingly, though. You know, you try your best not to do the things that are self-sabotaging to your future, to the life that you want. Like, if you know you have a spending problem, you got to get a hold of that. If you know you have a drug problem, you got to get a hold of that. You know you have a cursing problem, you got to get a hold of that. You know you gossip, whatever the problem is, you got to be honest with yourself, take accountability, and get a hold of it. Because if you don't control you, again, outside forces will control you. Other things, again, you go make mistakes. You go mess up. You're human. You learn from them. Always learn. Like, what could I learn from this? How can the situation make me better? What am I going to do to move forward? Accept it and let it go. Do not hold yourself in a mental prison. A lot of times we hold ourselves hostage to people, feelings, situations, everything, because we're like, you know, stuck. I remember I kind of shared this story a lot, especially on my TikTok. I was in a relationship, or so I thought, when I was 19 years old, and this young man found out he had a girlfriend the entire time. So jokes on me, I was a side girl, didn't even really know it. And the signs were there, the red flags were there, I had evidence, and for whatever reason, I just liked this guy so much that I was oblivious to what was going on, or I made myself oblivious, okay? So once I got my heart broken, it took me a very long time to get over this young man, like years. And one day it dawned on me, and I was like, all he did was cheat. All he did was lie years ago. I'm the only one making myself replay the feelings, allow this man to have so much control over my emotions, and he's gone. This man was in a whole new relationship. He wasn't thinking about me. Gone. Okay? But I allowed that one situation to have so much control over my emotions, my feelings, my thoughts, and all of that. Do not hold yourself in a mental prison for nobody, no circumstance, no nothing. Again, you want to hold yourself accountable. You want to acknowledge the mistake. You want to change and be different. But once you ask God for forgiveness, God don't make you ask for forgiveness over and over and over and over and over again. So don't do that to yourself. You know, you really have to forgive yourself and move forward. Because if you sit there and you allow people, situations, your past mistakes, or whatever the case may be, you're not being your own best friend because you're constantly going through the loop of the cycle of, oh, I got to da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know what I mean? And you're not being your own best friend. And then the happy side of being your own best friend is doing things that make you happy. Like, find hobbies, be honest with, like, set boundaries for yourself. Don't let nobody make you, allow you to be, don't allow yourself to be a doormat. Don't allow yourself to be walked over. Once your boundaries are set, it is what it is. I was watching, I wish people were still watching, what's the show? A Different World. Whitley had so many standards and boundaries for herself, right? She was dating this guy named Julian. He was like her perfect guy on paper. And then as soon as he was coming into her life and telling her how she should be and trying to change who she was, she did not stand for it. She was like, I have a career too. What about my career? I know you want me to be like this, but this is who I am. And if you call me this again, and she was really, she was willing to cut people that were not adding to her life in the way that she felt, in the most beautiful way. She was feminine. She wasn't like in her masculine energy, but she stood up for herself and really set boundaries. So if you have time to watch season four of A Different World, season three and season four of A Different World, especially towards the end of season three, early season four, Whitley does not play by her boundaries or her standards. And I love that. And I was like, we never see that on TV anymore. We always see the girl settling or bending for the man. She did not care who it was. She had her standards. She wanted what she wanted. And it was what it was. Okay? Shout out to Whitley Gilbert. But yeah, that's becoming your own best friend. Getting your hobbies. Making sure that you're filling your cup up. Making sure you're doing stuff that makes you happy. Find those hobbies. Find those friends that pour into you. You are the bouncer. Like I always say, I know this is a little secular, a little worldly, right? But if your life is a club or VIP, you are the bouncer. You're the front. You're the person in the front of VIP, allowing people in and out your life. So you have to stand 10 toes down on, I don't let these type of people in my life. I don't interact with this type of situation. I don't do this because you know what type of energy, you know, whatever is going to come to you. You have to be very selective, have your boundaries, set your standards. And it took me a while to learn these things. And this is with anybody, friendships, associates, coworkers, whoever, set a boundary. Nope. You cool, I love you, because Jesus told me to love everybody, love our neighbor, but I could love you at a distance. Some folks you gotta love at a distance. Some folks you gotta love from across the street. Love you. Hey girl. Okay. Comment down below what movie that's from. Yeah, but sometimes that's, you gotta look out for yourself. You gotta be your own best friend. You gotta stand 10 toes down for you. You gotta stand on kingdom business for yourself. Because if you don't do it, who will? Who will if you don't do it? But I hope you guys learned a lot. Leave it down below if you guys have any questions, comments, any other future podcasts, topics that you guys would like to see here, areas that you guys want to talk about. We could talk about relationships, self, friendships. I know friendships is a big one these days. Girl code and all of that stuff. Because it's a lot going on out here in these internet streets. So let me know what you guys want to know about on the podcast. I really appreciate y'all for watching. Do not forget to hit the subscribe button. Give this video a thumbs up. Make sure you guys are following me on Instagram, TikTok, all of the good things. Yeah, I love you guys, and I'll catch you guys in my next one. Peace.
If God is on our side, who gonna stop us? The weapons may be formed, but they won't prosper. When you walk in faith, blessings pop up. We operate in faith, you should watch us.